Good morning, everyone. This is a meditation talk that Sanchi gave January 6th of 1995. Excuse me. It's in the ambrosial hour, and it's the second meditation talk in Chapter 48. Salutations unto the feet of Supreme Father, Lords Almighty Samhan and Kripal, who have showered so much grace on this poor soul and have given an opportunity to this poor soul to sit in their remembrance and do their devotion. Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj says, in your mind, always go on thinking about it, always go on remembering him, and every morning rise up early and make the efforts. Take the food of the devotion of Lord Almighty, then you will have no difficulties at all. All the saints have laid a great emphasis on doing the Simran. The satsangis who do the Simran also know about its importance. Guru Arjan Dev Ji has said, we have to make the efforts. We have to work harder. And also we have to do the thinking. We have to remember. What kind of thinking or remembrance do we have to do? We have to do the Simran, which our beloved masters have given us, all the time, whether we are walking, talking, or doing anything. We should always be doing the Simran. That kirtan, or divine music, emanates from Sach Khand, our real home, the place where there is no question of one's being a Hindu or a Muslim, where it doesn't matter if one is a man or a woman. Doesn't matter if one is young or old. That kirtan is emanating from Sach Khand, our real home. It is sounding within us. It is sounding by itself. Our beloved Lord, who Guru Nanak Sahib calls our true friend or our beloved friend, he himself is creating that sound within us. He himself is doing that kirtan within us. Guru Nanak Sahib says, those who do that kirtan, those who remember him all the time, those who are doing his simran, are able to hear that kirtan which God Almighty himself is creating within us all the time. That kirtan is always going on within us, and we have to listen always to that kirtan. When we rise above the nine openings of our body, when we rise above body consciousness, when we close these nine openings and open the 10th door inside, Guru Nanak Sahib says, over there the beloved Lord is creating that sound within us. It is very pleasant weather, and you have forgotten your earlier thoughts. So the Simran done at this time, even a little bit, can be very successful. Do you not think that whatever time, whatever moments you are spending, or whatever simran you are doing, is not counted in your devotion? Guru Nanak Sahib says, whatever moment, whatever time you spend in his remembrance, all that is counted in your devotion. Those dear ones who do not have the nominitiation yet, they should also keep their attention at the eye center and go on repeating Satguru, Satguru. They should not open their eyes and get up. Unless you are called to leave off, you should continue sitting so that the other people who are meditating may not be disturbed. I have often said that when we sit in the meditation, at that time the mind also opens up his office. He does not want to lose any opportunity. That is why, since he is an agent of negative power, it is his job to keep the dear ones from doing the devotion of the Lord. So when we sit in meditation, he also starts working. He starts creating such thoughts within us like, let me open my eyes and see if the other people are still meditating or if they have gone. So I assure you all that we will not leave. We will first tell you to leave off. We will make you sing a bhajan, and then we will go. So nobody should open their eyes and look around to see if everyone else is still sitting or not. You should continue meditating. You should continue meditating unless you are asked to leave off. All of you, please close your eyes and start doing your simran. And I will ring a bell and ask everyone to leave off at 5 minutes to 11.
O giver, I need no one except you. This is Sanchi's Vajan. Menu tere bina kise dina lor. And it's on page 119. O giver, I need no one except you. The world fights, but still does not become successful, no matter if they get millions or billions. O giver, wherever you send me, I go there. I always eat what you give. I am the puppet. In your hand is the string. I wandered in every corner. I got your radiance everywhere. I saw no one else except you. Wherever I go, I sing of you. I carry your message. You have installed the lock, and you yourself turn the key. Beautiful Emperor Kirpal has become gracious, Sandajaya. May my love become like that of the moon and the moon bird. Sanchi's Bhajan on page 119. Menu tere bina kis, excuse me, menu tere bina kise dina lord datia, menu tere bina kise dina lord datia, dunia jagade mula landi, puri fera vina pendi. Dunia jagade mula landi, puri fera vina pendi. Bave mile jai lakete karor datia, menu tere bina kise dina lor datia, menu tere bina kise dina lor datia. Jite beje data java, tera dita sadahi kava. Jite beje data java, tera dita sadahi. Menu tere bina kise dina lord datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lord datia. Kone kone te me firia. Nura tera harta milia. Kone kone te me firia. Nura tera harta milia. Menu tere bina disadana hor datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lord datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lord datia. Jite java tenu gava. Tera sandesha puchava, jite java tenu gava, tera sandesha puchava, tera laya tal chabi tumaror datia, menu tere bina kise dina lord datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lord datia. Sona shakir pal hoya jab te dia. Sona shakir pal hoya jab te dia. Pyar mera ho je chand te chukor datya, menu tere bina kise din lod datya, menu tere bina kise din lod datya. Wherever I go, I sing of you. I carry your message. You have installed the lock, and you yourself turn the key. O giver, I need no one except you. So I'd like to start off by reading some excerpts from the spiritual letters from Baba Jaimal Singh to Sawan. So these are excerpts of his from different letters throughout the book. So I will start with letter number 75. And these were dated around 1900. Radha Swami from Jaimal Singh to my obedient son, Baba Sawan Singh. May the grace and mercy of the compassionate Anami Lord Radha Swami always be upon you. Dear son, your letter has been received, and I am very happy to know of your well-being. Whatever he has given to you has come from his gracious mercy. Always keep repeating the name of the Satguru inside, and also do whatever work he gives you. Consider it all to be the Satguru's work. One should always remember, I am merely a laborer, nothing is mine. Bhajan and Simran should be done regularly. When the going becomes very difficult while you do your official work, immediately concentrate the inner seeing faculty, the Nirat, on the Shab stages within, and continue with your Simran while casually attending to the work as well. It will give you a bliss just like meditation. And the official work also will keep going, getting done. In Simran, at least there is no problem, my son, so keep doing it. Simran's current links us up with the Dun, and then the current of the Dun links one with the Shabd. And the Shabd is the very essence of the Anami Lord himself. For this reason, if Simran is done with love and devotion, steeped in the soul's seeing faculty, it will bring great joy and bliss. Grace and mercy then descend in full measure. The mind and the soul get intensely dyed in the hue of the Shabdun, and every day the prayer and supplication will reach Sachkan. I am indeed very pleased with you, my son. In another letter, he writes, regarding Bhajan and Simran, you write that your mind gives you a lot of trouble, that it does not let you do Bhajan and Simran, and aimlessly creates waves and rituals. This is the mind's job, my son, because it is the creator of all gross and subtle evil tendencies. The thoughtless sins, the whole creation in its gross and subtle aspects, and the gross energy, the Shakti, whose power is unlimited, are all born in the mind like little sparks that fly off a burning fire. The sparks fly off, but the fire is unaware of it. So this is how the mind works. Those who have accepted the Guru's teaching and have steered the mind within his will receive praise and honor both in this world and in Sachkan. To stay within the directives of the perfect guru is the real work, my son. So relinquish the self, surrender your mind, body and wealth to the Satguru, and do not claim anything is yours. Then the mind will never stray anywhere, because once something is given away, you cease to have any claim on it. You, however, ignore the guru's will and bring yourself in between. And this allows the mind also to put forth its demands. That is why the mind gives trouble. Listen always to the Shabdun and do your Simran mentally. The Shabdun will then automatically capture the mind. Whatever official or worldly work you do, all is the Satguru's work. The Guru is a remedy to ferry you across the ocean of this universe. Why then should you feel perturbed? The Shabdun, which is always resounding within your body, will never forsake you. Hold on to it. Have absolute faith that it will not rest until it has taken you to Satchkam. And in another letter, Radha Swami, greetings from Jamo Singh to my obedient son, Baba Sawan Singh. The compassionate Anami Hazur Radha Swami is a wondrous Lord. Fathomless, nameless, and formless is he. The stream of divine knowledge is flowing, so the current of mercy is about to come and is already coming, but a single veil still remains. Surrender yourself, my son. All that exists, the inner faculties of Surat and Nirat, the gross mind, the higher mind, the vital energy, the physical body, the three bodies, the gross, the astral, and the causal, etc. That is to say, the states that manifest themselves in the cycle of 24 hours, the attributes of the three bodies, the worldly possessions of the physical body, do not let your mind desire any of these. Nor should you concern yourself with what will happen next or how you will do it. Put aside all such anxieties. All your possessions were given to you in the beginning by the Satguru, so they should have been held in trust. They were never to be regarded as your own. Now the Satguru's will has to be engraved in your mind. Understand that I am nothing. All is the Satguru's, and I do not exist. Everything that exists, the soul, the intellect, the mind, and all the means for performing worldly activities, none of these belong to you. They all belong to the Satguru. They should be completely removed from your mind. The reality of life is the soul, my son. The mind and soul received every provision from Satchkan to go about their duty in the land of Kal after receiving the Shabd from the Satguru. They were to merge into the current of the Shabd to enable the soul to return to Satchkan. The soul and mind, however, have completely forgotten this command, and by intermingling with Maya have fallen under its control, and now consider everything to be their own. The soul and mind have both been imprisoned by Maya, and Kal has pressed them down with the weight of karmas. So long as the disciple does not take out the self by surrendering his all to the Satguru and removing himself from everything, he will not be liberated. So surrender yourself and step aside, my son. Consider that each and everything in the world, body, mind, and wealth, belongs to the Satguru, and that you are nothing. Do all your work knowing it to be thus, and stay within the Satguru's instructions. He will then take you with him when he considers you fit. Engrave within your mind a deep love and devotion for his lotus feet, and keep lying in their refuge. The Shabdun is a blessing from the Satguru, my son. It is a gift that will never disappear. One day the Dun will take you to Satchkhand. Love the Shabdun with devotion every day and keep alive the inner longing for it. And then the final letter that I'd like to read from Baba Jamo Singh is, you are all reminded to do your bhajan and simran every day, because only now in the human form alone can the work of bhajan and simran be done. It cannot be done in the forms of any other species, because we can find the Lord only in this human form. Only through finding the perfect path, meeting the perfect Satguru, and generating a complete love and devotion within. Never should any disrespect or negative tendency enter the mind. Then the goal can be attained. There is no honor higher than Nam, my son. You have found the perfect way and also found its whole secret. Protect yourself from the illusions of this enemy, the mind, because its desires are all false. The power of the mind's desires and illusions has tied up the whole universe within the walls of pain and pleasure. Stay within the Satguru's will, my son, and listen to the Shabdun with love and devotion. By listening to it again and again, getting purified, and holding fast to the Dun, you will reach the very home of Radha Swamiji. Have firm faith in this, my son. Listen to the Shabdun with love and devotion, because it is the creator and destroyer of the entire universe. Unlimited powers and miracles are vested in the Shabdun. With grace and compassion, it reverberates day and night as an unbroken melody. When you focus on it, it pulls up the attention immediately. What a pity then that one would leave aside such a bounty, such true bliss, for the artificial and useless allurements of the self-conceited mind. To follow the illusions of the enemy, the mind, is a grave, senseless, careless, and foolish act. Never have we given a thought to restraining the mind. So think now and hold fast to the Shabdun. The affairs of the world will never end. Why do you then waste time in the musings and agitations of the mind? The next readings are taken out of the teachings of Kripal Singh. It's a 3-volume complete set in one book. And the section that I'd like to read, there's a couple of sections. The first one is called Obstacles of, it's actually called Attributes of Mind. Attributes of Mind. The question, what part does intellect play on the path? Kripal's answer, very little, where the practical side is concerned. But this does not mean that intellect is harmful to spirituality. If an intellectual man comes on this path and really gives himself up to the master's will and does what he is told, then there is no better disciple for this path than he, for there he has an advantage over an ordinary practical man. And that advantage is he will be able to give out the truth to others in many ways in a language made with well thought out words that will convince the intellectuals more easily than simple words uttered by a practical man. Does intellect play any part in self and God realization? Master Kripal says yes. Intellect plays an important part in understanding the theory of the problem of self realization. Once the theory is grasped, there is not much left for the intellect to do. Thereafter remains the practice with heart and soul to achieve the goal by a process of self-analysis, for the science of the self is essentially practical. Question, can we penetrate into the beyond by intellect? Kripal says no. Intellect is just one of the faculties of mind, to wit, reason. The intellect is earthbound, and so is reasoning based on intellect. How can the less the greater comprehend, or finite reason reach infinity? Question, can we ever be sure of God realization intellectually? Kripal answers, no. God realization is not a subject of intellect. It is a question of actual experience beyond the pole of knowledge. All our talk of God is but inferential, and at the most a matter of feelings and emotions, all of which are subject to error. But seeing the inscape with the inner eye opened is believing and admits of no uncertainty nor skepticism. I would advise you not to dwell too much on rationalization, for it tends to scatter the mind. This thinking self continues to be with us for quite a long time, its range extending from the physical to causal states. And until all these states which constitute the mind zone are successfully crossed, it does not drop off. For spiritual progress, stillness of mind and intellect is most essential. Any unnecessary wrestling with the intellect or free play of the mind retards spiritual progress. Concentration means the control of mental vibrations and may be attained by attuning within to the sound current, which is the astral manifestation of the master power that is always present with you. Verbiage is simply a vehicle of expression when you try to put forth your innermost feelings, seeking solution for the confusion created by your mind. Each question carries a rational answer in its bosom. The human intelligence baffles at times its surface, but if you endeavor to delve deep into the innermost recesses of silence of the heart, you will find ineffable divine bliss gushes forth from the fountain of Godhead. Divinity dawns in deep silence. The seer becomes dumb and mute with overwhelming divine intoxication and relishes to absorb his little self in him, the light and sound principles. Philosophy deals with theory, but mysticism deals with contact with reality, because philosophy works on the intellectual level, whereas mysticism works on the level of the soul. At the level of the intellect, you may remember so many things about what the master has said and given out. That has no life. You are talking only at the level of the intellect. So life or consciousness is something else than intellectual wrangling or wrestling. You may, however, know that thought is an expression of soul being an abstract attribute granted to the humans for smooth working in this world. But you have to transcend this realm of intellect by stilling it. When the divine revelations of light and sound current will recharge your soul with divinity and result in eventual emergence with the absolute. It is beyond the ken of human comprehension to gauge the grandeur and limitlessness of divinity. Your questioning is with the domain of intellect, where spirituality dawns when the intellect is silenced by loving devotion and reverential humility. It is during the silent and sublime moments of holy meditation, when the child disciple is nearer to the fountainhead of bliss and harmony, and the rare boon of right understanding is granted with the grace of the master. Regular feeds of holy Nam will manifest to you divine glory in its pristine beauty. The initiates are invariably advised to practice the divine virtues, which are helpful for regular progress on the holy path. It is a slow but sure process. The next section of this talk is given Obstacles of the Mind. Between God and spirit, there is no other obstacle but that of a veil of the mind. If this veil were to stop fluttering in the breeze of desires, as it does at present, the spirit can take in directly the cosmic energy from its very source. The mind may stand in between, but the soul knows what Guru is and what God is. In a temple of God, the mind drags us downward, away from the truth. It is because of the mind that we cannot partake of that which is inside us. It drags us down like a weight of iron. In turn, the senses are dragging the mind, and the pleasures of the world are dragging the senses. If the attention withdraws from outer environments, leaves the senses, and calms the mind, then only does it realize that it is soul. Have you understood this? Our mind is the barrier between soul and God. Question: why does the mind forget the bliss? Kripal answers, forgetfulness is the chief attribute of human mind. It is due to the gross maya, or materialism, that we forget the inner bliss and are overtaken by sensuous urges. When inner consciousness grows gradually, mind forgets its lower pulls and relishes inner bliss perpetually with the grace of the master. And those who are led by their mind impulses are known as manmukhs. Such persons cannot rise above the body consciousness. They do try from time to time, but always keep their minds above the master, with the result that time and again, they fall helplessly. If they could pin their deep faith in the competence of the master and rely less on their intellectual reasoning, they could be blessed with this rare privilege of inner inversion to enjoy the supreme bliss. Such dear ones cannot achieve inner stillness and silence. The master tries to make them understand in one way or the other, but they are so much filled and intoxicated with their mental merchandise that they fail to comprehend the greatness and sublimity of the holy path. You will please understand that mind has its various grooves wherein it clings fast. Basically, when we try to sit silent, only then will we come to know where the shoe pinches. The alphabet of spirituality commences with inner silence, which necessarily requires solitude and seclusion. It is only during these sacred moments of silence that we can understand the basic principles of spirituality and imbibe their right import. The wiles of the mind are both very subtle and risky. It often lies in ambush and makes its inroads when least expected. The ingrained evil propensities, though invisible, are very strong. And time and again, they come to the surface to deliver blows which often prove fatal. The coil strikes out like lightning with sharp and sudden twists and turns that man by himself is helpless in his clutches. Here comes the need for the long and strong arm of the master, which stretches forth with an equal agility to his rescue. Herein, the master once again reminds us that mind is very wicked and tricky, for it will not readily accept the gospel of the guru, however reasonable it may be. Knowing full well that we cannot avoid the decrees of heaven by any amount of wishful thinking, the mind continues planning and maneuvering otherwise. Our intellect, fine and limited as it is, cannot possibly comprehend the subtle activities of the mind, which goes on thinking endlessly. The only remedy for taming the hydra-headed mind is that of the holy Nam. By contacting the all-audible sound current within and the heaven's holy light, it becomes docile and forgets all else around it. This is the sovereign remedy for all the ills of the world, a panacea that cures all diseases of the body and mind. By administering to it regular doses of the celestial music emanating from the throne of God, the mind gets rid of lower propensities and begins to enjoy and take delight in the higher ravishing bliss of divine intoxication, which is the greatest gift of the master. Never agree to the dictates of the mind, as it has 101 ways to keep you stuck fast in the physical body and the terrestrial plane. The hand of the negative power on your head will not allow the mind to obey you. He will go on increasing the duality to make it more and more difficult and confusing. The negative will not help you to overcome this duality. Only the positive can do that. It is a marked difference between the powers. The negative power puts two strong impediments, which are encountered by the initiates of the master. Firstly, the mind will always be doubtful about the efficacy of holy meditations, and one will start missing the meditations and get devoted to alternative pursuits, substituting them with mere routine readings of the scriptures and other sacred texts. Secondly, it will bring forth an argument that there is no more need for him or her to call on the master, as initiation per se is sufficient for proceeding on the way back to the home of the master. Complacency retards inner progress. We are living on a plane which is governed by the negative power and where the inexorable law of karma works supreme. The mind is the agent of this negative power, and in one way or the other, it will entangle you to be kept tied to the many limitations of the body and worldly possessions. Such a skeptical mind will, instead of doing anything useful, find fault with the master and his path. Negative power has a vast dominion engulfing the first three planes, and those who happen to fall prey to the allurements of their mind, subtle and causal, are caught in finer fetters or bondages. The masters of the highest order, who came in the past, have left behind some useful treasures in the form of their precious experiences for our guidance, so that we may safely tread in their footsteps. Through the illusion of the body, you also become attached to material objects. And the result is that wherever your attention is, so you become that. You are under the influence of the mind and the senses, are feeding the senses through the outgoing faculties. And the more you feed them, the harder the mind will work and the more strength it will get. Herein, the master conveys to us another sublime truth by telling us that we have been caught in the spider's web, having prepared a vast net of attachments for binding ourselves down in the mire of delusion and of deception. You will appreciate that a spider weaves fine threads of its own secretions and gets entangled in them. Similarly, it is our own mind which has developed an unnecessary attachment with the physical body and its allied relations. Do you know what is the underlying basis of Maya or delusion? Its roots lie in the physical body from where it springs and spreads around like a gigantic upas tree. We readily forget that we are ensouled bodies and not merely physical bodies. It is the soul currents which permeate through and through the physical plane, whereby it is enlivened, and they in turn get their sustenance from a higher life principle known as the Holy Nam, or the Word. So long as that divine power is working in us, we are alive, and as soon as that power is withdrawn, the whole structure collapses like a pack of cards, and it is then said, "Dust thou art, and unto dust returneth." It is better to guard the tendency of each other because the objective mind is very powerful in the physical plane. And it is mutual satsang only with which checks out evil tendencies. Society of the people tends to scatter the mind. Mind is the most powerful, clever, and cunning enemy. And to release the spirit from its bondage, it is necessary to break attachments from the alluring material objects, which are not ours and have been evolved by matter and by Maya. Human nature is the same everywhere. The Pindi mind does not like to be subdued because it has been free for so long and has become so much absorbed in this outer world that it has not only forgotten the worlds within, but has forgotten its very source, the Brahmandi mind. Instead of controlling the senses, it is now subject to them, and thus constantly wanders from one subject to another without anything to rest upon. If by good luck it is comparatively free from the anxieties of life and hears of the worlds within, and occasionally has a point glimpse of the mere outskirts of these worlds, then instead of going in and bearing mastery of them, it is, alas, held out by fame, the last infirmity of noble minds, as Milton calls it. The fame and honor given by people keep it out just as much as ears are held by sweet music, and the eye is held by attractive objects. In the guise of doing good to others, it deceives itself, and in ignorance knows not that the valuable time is being lost. First know thyself, and then preach. It is not proper to teach of a thing when one has not the first-hand knowledge of it. Step by step, the Master is opening up new vistas of right understanding by telling us what the root cause of this misconception is. He says that it is foolish for the human mind to be attached to outer fantasies, infatuated by the colorful shells, and caring little for the sweet kernel within. The mind may be likened to a parasitical plant which has no roots of its own, but draws its sustenance from the host tree to which it tenaciously holds. In exactly the same way, the mind in itself has no separate existence per se, but is a sheer projection of one's mental makeup and is inextricably mixed up with the sense object through the senses. It, at its lowest level, is bound to the body, while at its higher level, other end, the highest level, it is subtle enough to draw its sustenance from the soul. You must not feel disheartened and try to regain your inner happiness by doing your very best. You must not feel disheartened and try to regain your inner happiness by doing your very best and leaving the rest to the gracious master that is working overhead. Even the darkest cloud has a silver lining somewhere. He is fully aware of your distress and awaiting most eagerly to receive you within faithful meditation. You are to be on the guard lest your subconscious mind is fed with thoughts of gloom and morbidity. It makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material you feed it with through your thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality a thought driven by fear just as readily as a thought driven by courage or faith. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and render useful service if used constructively, or snuff out life if wrongly used. You are free to a great extent in this respect to be receptive to the thought impulses of faith, of loving devotion, of humility and self-surrender, which will in turn bless you with peace and harmony. You must not dwell much on your confusion, but meet every situation with courage. My love and blessings are with you. And the next section is called Befriend the Mind. And Master Kripal says, is there any good or helpful characteristic of mind? Yes, mind, like Janus, has another face as well. If it is trained properly by gentle persuasion and kindly words of advice, with a little patting now and then, it can be converted from a formidable foe into a valuable friend and a helping hand to the soul in its search, in its search to bring about this conversion. And when it is done, one can have no better helpmate than the mind. It has the capacity, chameleon-like, to take on the color of the ground where it squats. And that indeed is a redeeming feature. When living on the circumference of life, it expands outwards, downwards. But rooted as it is in the Gagan, it is not impervious to the higher and holier influences of a master soul to whom it responds, and he channelizes it to in another way. The mind is undoubtedly our enemy and is too superior in strength to be annihilated. It is an innovation introduced by Swamiji, who tells us to make friends with the mind, which is an agent of the negative power and in its present state, an enemy of the soul. And instead of fighting with it right and left and to no purpose, we may make the best use of the mind in a friendly way. You know that mind has a tendency to tread on much beaten tracks. That is, it creates grooves of habit and mechanically acts in a repetitive and automatic manner. Just see for yourself if you do something at a fixed time and continue doing so for a number of days at the same time. A habit is formed. And after some time, it will become part and parcel of your daily routine. So this is the easiest way of overpowering this powerful idiot. Instead of fighting with it outright in an unequal struggle, we can turn to our advantage this weakness by devoting regular time to the holy meditations at the fixed time with religious zeal and punctuality. It will be seen that after some time, the inner revelations will arm you with something far superior, and the mind itself, which used to resent inversion, will also start relishing the same and gradually give up its past pleasures. The master gives us a positive approach for the solution of this riddle, which is so easy and interesting to solve by making a friendly alliance with the mind instead of making it an inveterate foe. Nothing can be gained by cursing the mind, for the mind is no small thing. So the master's advice is to befriend it. The mind's habit is to drag everything downward. Yet as your friend, even if it wants to hurt you, it will not do so. Under such an arrangement, he may even cooperate with you. If he desires food, then agree. Yes, I will give you food. But first, let us do a little meditation. Then we will have food. If you immediately refuse the food, he will be tormented with the desire for it. He is like a stubborn donkey. The more you restrict him, the more stubborn he becomes. It is a very accurate definition of the mind. If you make a note in a book, do not reach page so-and-so, it will probably be the first page people will read. They won't be able to resist the temptation. So make your mind a companion. Don't fight with it. The Satguru advises the soul to take the mind along if it wants to return home. He never says to ignore the mind or leave it behind, but that the soul should understand and make it agreeable as long as man does not kill the physical mind and withdraw from the sense level, he cannot proceed. One must leave all sense attractions and rise above body consciousness. Otherwise, it remains impossible to go higher and taste the nectar of the mind. Excessive eating and drinking and frittering away the attention on worldly sights, sounds, and sensations. All these are outer enjoyments which deny one the bliss of the inner enjoyments. Lord Buddha said we should be desireless, for desire is but senseless enjoyment. Only by stepping aside from all this can one truly take a step ahead. If you can take the mind with you, it will be easier. But if you forget yourself and your aim in the mind's enjoyments, you will lose all desire to progress. Make it your companion and make it understand the situation, for the mind is unhappy, so much so that at times it cries out in torment. Make a friend of the mind. It is our cruel enemy which will go on tormenting our life. But by making friends with it, we take the first step toward gaining the desired control. If one makes friends with an enemy, he may not immediately cease his enmity, but it will lessen the lengths of his cruelty. In this way, there are chances of his becoming stilled, during which time you will be more awakened. So it is possible to gain control of the mind only in the company of a Satguru. He will help you to befriend it and so make the path easier. Then it may start to listen to you, whereas it usually does not. Many find this difficulty in meditation and say that their mind does not allow them to meditate. With love, make it your companion. Love is such a magnificent thing that it can control even the worst-charactered person. No matter how much you may hate your pitiful situation, yet hate will only serve to increase the problem. You may throw all the filth out of a dirty house, yet the smell of that will spread and permeate not only the interior of the house, but the surroundings too. The true solution is to start washing with the water of love, and gradually the badness will be washed away forever. If you are good to your enmity, if you are good to your enemy, his enmity will be softened somewhat. Because of its vast area of rule, everyone is under the mind's control. So among those who practice meditation, very few rise above even the first region. Even fewer rise above the second, and to rise above the third is really something rare. And I will stop there. And our take for today is, hold on 1 second, please. Is a question and answer period that was given on October 2nd, 1985.
Now you can ask your questions.
I was wondering if you could clarify how it is the master suffers pain when we do not meditate. I've understood from what I've heard previously that the master takes on pain when we don't meditate 2 hours a day. And also I've been told that the master, every cell of his body is suffering excruciating pain. I was wondering if you could clarify this, if you could elaborate.
मैं विनती करूंगा कि आप इस बात को स्पष्ट करें कि किस तरह से गुरु सेवकों के अभ्यास ना करने की वजह से तकलीफ उठाता है, अपने शरीर के ऊपर दर्द उठाता है. मैंने पहले एक दफा एक जगह पढ़ा था कि अगर हम 2 घंटे रोज अभ्यास नहीं करते तो हमारा गुरु उसके बदले में बहुत दुख अपने शरीर के ऊपर उठाता है, और गुरु के शरीर का रोम रोम असहनीय दर्द से, असहनीय पीड़ा से हमेशा दुखी रहता है अगर हम अभ्यास नहीं करते. ऐसा क्यों होता है, कृपा करके स्पष्ट करें.
हाँ भाई, तुम्हें पता ही है, ऐसे कोई पौधा लगाने हैं उतो फल दी आस रख ले हैं. इसी तरह जब असि नाम लेने हैं, असि निराशा के अधीन होने हैं, ख्वाहिश के अधीन होने हैं, संत सतगुरां तो वध आशा ला लैने हैं, प्रेमियां दे पत्रां तो पता लगता है उन्हां दियां मंगां बहुत ज्यादा होंदियां हन, ਥੱਲੇ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਲਿਖ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਆਪ ਕਹੋਗੇ ਭਜਨ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰੋ, ਠੀਕ ਹੋਏਗਾ, ਭਜਨ ਸਾਥ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ। ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੋਚ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਕਿ ਕਿਸੇ ਚੀਜ਼ ਤੋਂ ਆਪਾਂ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਕੁਛ ਮੰਗੀ ਜਾਈਏ, ਲੋੜ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਧ ਮੰਗੀ ਜਾਈਏ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਕਾਲ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਦਾ ਭੁਗਤਾਨ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਕਰਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤੇ ਕਰਤੇ ਵੀ ਮਾਫ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ। ਉਹ ਕਰਮ ਚਾਹੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਭੁਗਤੇ ਚਾਹੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਭੁਗਤੇ, ਸੇਵਕ ਅਗਰ ਭੁਗਤਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੋਵੇ ਤਾਂ ਬੇਨਤੀਆਂ ਹੀ ਕਿਉਂ ਕਰੇ, ਅਰਦਾਸਾਂ ਹੀ ਕਿਉਂ ਕਰੇ। ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਟਲ ਕਾਨੂੰਨ ਹੈ ਕਾਲ ਦਾ ਕਿ ਕਰਮ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਭੋਗਣੇ ਪੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਸੰਤ ਸਤਿਗੁਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਸਦੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜੋ ਇਹ ਕਾਲ ਦੀ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕੀ ਕਸ਼ਟ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬੁਖਾਰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਾਂ ਉਸਦਾ ਬਦਲਾ ਖੂਨ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਹੋਰ ਅੰਗ ਭੰਗ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਉਸਦੀ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਕੀ ਉਸਦਾ ਵਜਾਨਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਪਲਾਂਟ ਅ ਪਲੈਂਟ, ਵੀ ਐਕਸਪੈਕਟ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਇਟ ਵਿਲ ਗਰੋ ਅਪ ਇਟ ਵਿਲ ਯੀਲਡ ਦ ਫਰੂਟ। In the same way, when we get the initiation from the perfect master, our desires know no limits. We have limitless desires, and that is why we have come to the master, so that with his grace we may fulfill our desires. We come to know from the letters of the dear ones that how many desires the dear ones have. They have so many desires, their desires are limitless, and after making so many demands and so many desires, they even confess that they cannot meditate, which is required. So they request to the master that, master, shower your grace on us so that we may get this thing and that thing. Now you know that when the desires are to be fulfilled, it is necessary that the karmas which are involved in doing that, and also unless our karmas are paid, unless it is written in our fate, we cannot get the things which we ask. Sometimes we ask for the things which are not written in our fate, but still in the love for the master, and lovingly we make the request to the master. So out of the love for the disciples, master is bound to give the things to the disciples which they have requested, even though in that a lot of karmas are involved. And according to the law of negative power, as Master Savan Singh used to say, that it is up to the negative power to decide that in which way he wants the karmas to be paid. Either disciple pays the karmas, or the master who has become responsible for the disciple pays the karma. The master does not have any choice as far as how to pay the karmas. If the negative power wants the blood from the body of the master, he will have to give that. If the negative power wants that the master's body should suffer with fever or with any other disease in order to pay the karmas of the disciples, the master has to do according to the wishes of negative power. This law of negative power cannot be changed, and the masters suffer the pains only because of the karmas which the disciples should be paying. But they are not able to do that because they always go on requesting to the master that we cannot pay off this karmas. In other words, they say that we cannot meditate. If we meditate, we can pay off the karmas, but we cannot meditate. That is why we request the master that he should shower grace on us, and we cannot meditate. This is the condition they put. So that is why masters have to suffer so much pain.
Sab de khyal ikke jaise nahi hunde, sab da subhaag jaisa nahi hunda. ਰਸਤੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਆਦਮੀ ਤੜਫ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਬਹੁਤ ਆਦਮੀ ਪਰਵਾਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ, ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੇ ਕੰਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਮਸ਼ਗੂਲ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਤੁਰੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਇੱਕ ਕੋਈ ਐਸਾ ਵੀ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸਨੂੰ ਚੁੱਕਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੇ ਟਿਕਾਣੇ 'ਤੇ ਪਹੁੰਚਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੀ ਦਵਾਈ ਬੂਟੀ ਵੀ ਕਰਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਪਤਾ ਲੈਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਸ ਸ਼ਖਸ ਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਅੰਦਰ ਦਇਆ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਪਿਆਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਹਮਦਰਦੀ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਦੁਨਿਆਵੀ ਗੱਲ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਠੀਕ ਸਮਝਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕਈ ਦਫ਼ਾ ਆਪਦੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਨਾਲ ਵੀ ਵਾਕਿਆਤ ਐਸੇ ਵੇਖੀਦੇ ਹੈ, ਤਾਂ ਸੰਤ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਤੋਂ ਹਜ਼ਾਰਾਂ ਇਨਸਾਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਵੀ ਵੱਧ ਦਇਆ ਹੀ ਦਇਆ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੱਖੀ ਹੈ। ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਦੁਖੀ ਪਰੇਸ਼ਾਨ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਪੁਕਾਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਉਹ ਦਇਆ ਵੱਸ ਪਿਆਰ ਵੱਸ ਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ, ਮੁਨਾਸਬ ਆਪਦੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਦਾ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਇਹ ਉਹ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ।
You know that not everyone in this world has the same kind of thoughts or has the same kind of compassion and kindness for the other beings. You would have come across such incidents many times in your life, that suppose there is a person lying on the roadside and he's suffering with some pain, you would have seen that many people don't even bother to look at him, that what's wrong with him, what to stop and take care of him. But there are some people, those who are very compassionate, those who are very kind and gracious, they may stop by that suffering person, ask him what is the problem, and it is possible that they may also, they may even take such a person, that person, to the nearby hospital or the doctor and give him the medicine. And afterwards also they would keep visiting that person. They do that because God has put within them a lot of grace, a lot of kindness and compassion for all the human beings. This is a worldly example. Saints and Mahatmas come in this world carrying a lot of grace and kindness for all the human beings. When any of their disciples, or even if one is not disciple of the master, but if he remembers him and if he cries for help, that master cannot stop himself, he cannot control. He always comes down to help that disciple. And you know that when you have to help someone, you have to lose something of your own.
Or Mara Savan Singh Akri Kaisal Kafi Bimar Rahe Vato Vaduna Dasudir Kamjor Hogaya ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਜੋ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਸਨ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਬੇਨਤੀ ਕੀਤੀ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇਵ ਦੇ ਅਰਦਾਸ ਕਰੋ ਕਿ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਕੁਛ ਚਿਰ ਸਾਡੇ ਬੀਚ ਨੇ ਰਹਿਣ ਦੇਵੇ ਔਰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਬਿਮਾਰੀ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਵੀ ਫਰਿਆਦ ਕਰੋ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ, ਦੇਖੋ ਬਈ ਮੇਰੀ ਗੁਰਮੁਖਤਾ ਵਿੱਚ ਫਰਕ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਮੈਂ ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਅਰਦਾਸ ਕਿਸ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰੂੰਗਾ, ਨਾ ਬੇਨਤੀ ਕਰਾਂ ਆਪਦੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇਵ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ। ਹਾਂ, ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਅਰਦਾਸ ਕਰੋ, ਬੇਨਤੀ ਕਰੋ। ਤੋ ਸੰਗਤ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਫਰਿਆਦ ਬੇਨਤੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਕਰਦੀ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸੰਤ ਜੋ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਫਰਿਆਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਗੇ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਜੋ ਸੇਵਕ ਹੈ, ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਮਾਮੂਲੀ ਪਰੇਸ਼ਾਨੀ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਅਰਦਾਸਾਂ ਕਰਨੀਆਂ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਬੇਨਤੀਆਂ ਕਰਨੀਆਂ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਇੱਕ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦਾ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਸੀ, ਉਹ ਕਾਫੀ ਬਿਮਾਰ ਹੋਇਆ, ਕਸ਼ਟ ਹੋਇਆ। ਉਹਨੇ ਇੱਕ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਕੋਲ ਜ਼ਿਕਰ ਕੀਤਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਤੇ ਗੁੱਸੇ ਹਾਂ, ਮੇਰੀ ਉਹਨੇ ਸੰਭਾਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤੀ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕੋਲ ਉਸ ਸਤਸੰਗੀ ਨੇ ਗੱਲ ਕੀਤੀ ਕਿ ਜੀ ਉਹ ਆਦਮੀ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਤੇ ਗੁੱਸੇ ਹੈ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ, ਦੇਖ ਵੀ ਇਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਸਦਾ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਨੁਕਸਾਨ ਹੈ, ਉਸਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਤਾ ਕਿ ਮੇਰਾ ਕਿਤਨਾ ਕਰਮ ਗੁਰੂ ਕੱਟ ਰਹੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਕਿਤਨੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੱਟਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੈ। ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜੀਵ ਅੰਧਾ ਹੈ, ਦੇਖ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਿਹਾ, ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਿਹਾ, ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਿਹਾ। ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਜੋ ਵੀ ਬੋਝਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਭ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸਿੱਟਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਹੁਣ ਸੰਤ ਕਿਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਗੁੱਸੇ ਹੋਣ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਸੇਵਕ ਨਾਲ ਗੁੱਸੇ ਹੋਣ, ਸੇਵਕ ਤਾਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਹੀ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਮਨ ਇੰਦਰੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਗੁਲਾਮ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਭਾਉ ਲੈ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸਬਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਆਪਣੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਕਰਮ ਲੈ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਮੇਰਾ ਜਾਤੀ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਸੇ ਆਦਮੀ ਦੇ ਕਰਮ ਚੱਕੀ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਆ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਉਹ ਭਾਉ ਲੈ ਹੀ ਖੜਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਪਤਾ ਨੀ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਬਿਮਾਰੀ ਨੇ ਇਹ ਹਾਲਤ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦੀ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਇੱਕ ਗੱਲ ਕਿ ਇੱਕ ਸੇਵਕ ਦਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਕਰਮ ਚੁੱਕਿਆ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਨੂੰ ਵੱਧ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਧ ਬੁਖਾਰ ਆਇਆ, ਹੇਠਲਾ ਸਾ ਹੇਠ ਉੱਪਰਲਾ ਉੱਪਰ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਜੀ ਇਹ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਕਰਮ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਦਾ? ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ, ਨਹੀਂ ਨਹੀਂ ਮੇਰਾ ਆਪਣਾ ਕੋਈ ਕਰਮ ਨਹੀਂ, ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਕਰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਇਹ ਕਿਸੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਬਿਕੇਮ ਵੈਰੀ ਸਿੱਕ, ਵੈਰੀ ਇਲ ਟੂਵਰਡਸ ਦੀ ਐਂਡ ਆਫ ਹਿਸ ਲਾਈਫ ਟਾਈਮ, ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਬਿਕੇਮ ਸੋ ਸਿੱਕ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਲੋਸਟ ਅ ਲੋਟ ਆਫ ਵੇਟ, ਹੀ ਬਿਕੇਮ ਵੈਰੀ ਵੀਕ, ਵੈਰੀ ਥਿਨ। ਦ ਡਿਵੋਟਡ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲਸ ਹੂ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਲਿਵ ਨੀਅਰ ਹਿਮ, ਦੇ ਰਿਕੁਐਸਟਡ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੇ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਰਿਕੁਐਸਟ, you should pray to your master Baba Jamal Singh that he may allow you to spend some more time among us, and you should even request him and pray to him for recovery of your health so that you may become free from the diseases you have. Master Sawan Singh said that I cannot do that, because if I will pray to my master for my health, that will make the difference in my discipleship. I have never done that. I don't want that my master should carry the burden of my karmas, or he should suffer for me. That is why I cannot do that, and I will never do that. But if you feel like doing, you can pray to him. So Master Sawan Singh never prayed to his master, even though he suffered a great deal towards the end. it was always his disciples who used to pray and make the request to his master Baba Jamal Singh for his speedy recovery and for his good health. Master Sawan Singh Ji always used to say that the disciples do not know they are blind. They do not know that why the master is suffering. Many times it happens that the master is suffering on the account of the karma of a disciple who is having the bad feeling for the master. This is my personal experience that saints do not have any karmas of their own. They always suffer because of their disciples. Saints and Mahatmas never want that their masters should carry or should suffer on account of their karmas, or they should suffer for them. Whereas we, the disciples, even if we have a little bit of difficulty, we always make the prayer to the master and we do not want to suffer even a little bit. We always want that our master should suffer for us. And when it does not work, then we become upset. There was one initiate of Master Sawan Singh who had a little bit of difficulty, physical difficulty. And when he did not become all right soon, and since he had to suffer a little bit, he became upset at Master Sawan Singh. And he told another initiate that I am very much upset at Master because he did not protect me, he did not take care of me. That dear one came to Master Sawan Singh and told him that such disciple of yours is very upset at you because you did not cure him when he was sick. Master Sawan Singh said that that poor fellow does not know that how much karmas of him Master has taken on his body and how much pain has been reduced which he was going to suffer. Master Sawan Singh Ji often used to tell about his own incident that once he was suffering from some kind of disease. He was paying off the karma of one disciple, and that very disciple had bad feeling for Master Sawan Singh because he saw that Master Sawan Singh was suffering very much. So his faith was shaken and he started thinking that why a saint like Master Sawan Singh should suffer so much. So he asked Master Sawan Singh that, Master, is this your own karma which you are suffering? Even though Master was suffering the karma of that very person who had asked that question, but still Master Sawan Singh said that, no, this is not my karma. This is the karma of one of my dear ones. So masters never complain. Patiently and lovingly, when the disciples make any request to them, they always bear the karmas. They always suffer the sufferings of the disciples and they always reduce the pains for the disciples.
ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਕਹਾਣੀ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਦੀ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਾਰੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਇਤਨੇ ਫੋੜਿਆਂ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਨਿਕਲੇ ਹੋਏ ਸੀਗੇ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਕਿ ਕਈ ਸਾਲ ਰਹੇ ਔਰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਆਮ ਆਦਮੀ ਪਾਸ ਖੜਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਰਦੇ ਵੀ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕਰੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਬੱਚਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਔਰ ਇਹ ਇੱਕ ਸੱਚਾਈ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਦ ਇਹ ਕੱਪੜੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਸੀ ਰੋਣ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਬੜਾ ਦੁੱਖ ਦੀਆਂ ਉਹ ਘੜੀਆਂ ਸਨ ਮੇਰੇ ਅੱਛੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਯਾਦ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਜਦ ਇਹ ਹਾਲਤ ਹੋਈ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਰੋ ਪਿਆ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਇੱਕ ਬੱਚਾ ਸੀ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੌਣ ਸੇ ਕਰਮ ਇਸਨੇ ਕੀਤੇ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਚੁੱਕ ਲਵੇ ਜਾਂ ਰਾਜੀ ਕਰ ਦੇਵੇ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਹੱਸ ਪਏ ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਬਈ ਦੇਖ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਚੁੱਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਰਾਜੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਕਰਮ ਦਾ ਭੁਗਤਾਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜੈਸਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਤੂੰ ਇਹਦਾ ਕਰਮ ਚੁੱਕ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਕੌਣ ਚੁੱਕਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੈ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਤਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਰੇ ਕਹਿ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਬਾਪ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੇਰਾ ਬੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਮਾਂ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੇ ਥਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਸੱਜਣੋ ਵੇਲੇ ਚ ਬਾਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਮੇਰਾ ਇਹ ਜਾਤੀ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਨੇ ਇੱਕ ਐਸੀ ਯੁਗਤੀ ਨਾਲ ਉਹ ਕਰਮ ਕੱਟਿਆ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਪੰਜਾਬ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇੱਕ ਤੀਰਥ ਹੈ ਤਖਤੂਪੁਰਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਜਗਾਨੇ ਚ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਨੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕੀਤਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਹਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਉੱਥੇ ਲੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਠੀਕ ਹੋ ਜਾਏਗਾ ਮੈਂ ਕੁਛ ਤਿੰਨ ਚਾਰ ਦਾਗ ਇਹਦੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਪਾਊਂਗਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਹੱਥ ਤੇ ਨਿਸ਼ਾਨ ਹੈ ਦੋ ਹੋਰ ਨਿਸ਼ਾਨ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਇੱਕ ਮੱਥੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਾਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਫਿਰ ਪਿਤਾ ਜੀ ਰੋਏ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਬੜਾ ਭੱਦਾ ਲੱਗੇਗਾ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਨਿਸ਼ਾਨ ਲਾ ਦੇ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਸੋਹਣੇ ਵੀ ਲੱਗਣ ਇਹ ਇੱਕ ਸੱਚਾਈ ਹੈ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਉੱਥੇ ਲੈ ਗਏ ਹੁਣ ਲੋਕ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਕਹਿਣਗੇ ਕਿ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਉੱਥੇ ਜਾਣ ਨਾਲ ਹੀ ਠੀਕ ਹੋ ਗਏ, ਨਹੀਂ ਇਹ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਸੀ। ਜਦ ਮੈਂ 4 ਮੀਲ ਤੁਰ ਕੇ ਆਇਆ ਉੱਥੋਂ, ਚੱਕ ਸੈਦੋ ਪਿੰਡ ਦਾ ਨਾਂ ਹੈ, ਉੱਥੇ ਨਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੋਈ ਫੋੜਾ ਰਿਹਾ, ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਖਿੰਸੀ ਰਹੀ, ਔਰ ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਦਾਗ ਹੈ। ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਵੀ ਫੋੜੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸੀਗੇ। ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ, ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਸਾਲਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੇਰਾ ਕਰਮ ਸੀ, ਕਿੰਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਕੱਟਣਾ ਸੀਗਾ, ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਫੋੜਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਕਿਤਨਾ ਵਿਧਾਨ ਹੋਣਾ ਸੀਗਾ। ਸੋ ਇਹ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ।
I have often told you about my childhood, that when I had those boils, those blisters like thing all over my body, it was so painful that whenever I would wear any clothes, it will all get stuck to the wounds, and it was very painful. I still remember those painful moments, even though I was still a child at that time. My father always used to cry looking at my condition, because I was their only child. Nobody else would love me because I had those boils all over my body, and nobody would allow me to stand near them. My parents and the family members used to love me only because I was their only child. Once my father took me to Baba Vishandas, and over there he wept. He told Baba Vishandas that God had given me only one child, and I don't know how many bad karmas he has done in his past life that he has this boils, this blisters, and he is suffering so much. I cannot see him suffering. Either God should take him back or he should be cured. Baba Vishandas laughed and he said that God never takes back anyone. God never brings death to anyone. God never cures anyone. Everyone has to suffer the account of their own karmas, or someone who becomes responsible for the karmas of a person can pay for the karmas. Otherwise, that person who is suffering has to suffer. Then Baba Vishandas asked my father that, are you ready to pay the account of the karmas of this boy? My father could not say anything, because you know that it is very difficult for anyone to agree that he will suffer for someone else. We may say outwardly that I am ready to suffer. The parents love the child very much, the mother, the father, they love the child very much. But when you ask them that, are you ready to suffer for your children? Nobody will become ready, because who wants to suffer for others? We can hardly suffer for our own selves. How can we think of suffering the pains of the other soul? So like that, when my father did not agree, Baba Vishandas said that, okay, I will take him to a place of pilgrimage in Punjab, which is called Taktupura, and over there he will become all right. But I will have to put some signs on his body. This is the will of God, that his body should have some signs. So this tattoo in my hand, and also 2 other signs which I have, those signs were given to me at that time when Baba Vishandas took me to that place of pilgrimage. He also wanted to put a sign on my forehead, but my father again wept and he requested that not to put a sign over there, because it will look very bad. My father requested Baba Vishandas that he should put signs on my body in such a way that they may look beautiful and they may not look bad. So Baba Vishandas took me over there. People may say that it was because I was taken to the place of pilgrimage that all the boils and all the disease was cured, but that is not true. Baba Vishandas was very gracious, and I don't know that how many karmas I had, how many bad karmas I had done, and how much Baba Vishandas had suffered in order to remove the boils of my body. It is possible that a lot more complications were going to follow because of those boils, but graciously Baba Vishandas removed all the problems, all the complications, and all the sufferings he took on his own body. So this is the grace of the Master. When we request the Master to heal us, to make us all right, then the karmas, in a way, we are not ready to pay the karmas which we are suffering. We are in a way requesting the Master to take those karmas on his body, which he lovingly does. And that is why he suffers for us. His body suffers when we do not meditate, because when we meditate, we get the inner strength to suffer the karmas. But when we are not strong enough to suffer the karmas, then someone has to suffer. And who else can suffer our karmas except our Master?
Yeah,
the closing bhajan is on page 44. It's Sanchi's bhajan, Teri Hara Dhamma Yad. We are remembering you with every breath. Give us your darshan. We are being baked in the separation. Spread the coolness. In the world, the fires are burning. In the fire, the jivas are burning. O giver, have pity and come back. In the Kali Yuga, to meditate on Nam is difficult. To go in the refuge of the Master is easy. The boat is adrift. Come and take it to the shore. Having become separated from you, we are suffering. O giver, day and night, we are weeping. We have your hope. Come and fulfill our hopes. Guru Kirpal is the beloved one. Ajaib only has this support. We are thirsty for the darshan. Satisfy our thirst. We are remembering you with every breath. Give us your darshan. Sabhajan of Sanchis on page 44.
Teri har dam yada manara hai darsha dikha jatu teri har dam yada manara hai darsha dikha jatu asi bujra hai vicha biyog de Handavarta jatun Asi bujara hevicha Biyoga dei Handavarta jatun Dunia vicha bambara Bakara he agani vicha jiva he Machara he Dunia vicha bambara Bakara he agani vicha jiva he machara he data tara sakaroji anake vera pajatu data tara sakaroji anake vera pajatu Teri har dam yada manara hai darsha dikha jatu asi bujra hai vicha viyog de tandavarta jatu nam japna kala vicha O kae sharani pe jana so kae nam japna kalavicha O kae sharani pe jana so kae beri ar gai vicha manja dar de banne la jatu Beri ar gai vicha manja dhar de banne la jatu. Teri har dam yada manara hai darsha dikha jatu. Teri har dam yada manara hai Darsha dikha jatu Asi bujra hai vicha Viyog de Thandavarta jatu Teto vichara ke oke Hora hai din rati data Rora hai Teto vichara ke oke Hora he din rati data rora he asira ki ayasa teri asadi as puja jatu asira ki ayasa teri asadi as puja jatu Teri har dam yada manara hai darsha dikha jatu asi bujra hai vicha viyog de thandavarta jatu kirpal guru ji pyara hai ajaya banue ho Sahara hai, Kirpal Guruji, Pyara he ajaya banue ho sahara he darshana di pyasa lagrahi pyas puja jatu darshana di pyasa lagrahi pyas puja jatu teri hardam yada manara he darsha dikha jatu asi bhujra he vicha viyog de tanda varta jatu teri hardam yada manara he darsha dikha jatu.
In the world, the fires are burning. In the fire, the jivas are burning. O giver, have pity and come back. We are remembering you with every breath. Please give us your darshan. May God bless us all.